Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to this episode 312 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Thank you for everybody who's been tuning in for, the last 5+ years now. So many great guests, so many great times, so many great conversations. Our conversation tonight, I have been looking forward to. Once again, Mark Eddy is like an angel who just flies out of nowhere into people's lives and goes, "Hey, man, you want to have this conversation?" And it's like, all right. And then he starts hooking you up with people like our guest tonight, Joshua Shapiro, author of Mysteries of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, as well as Journey of the Crystal Skulls Explorers, Travelogue 1, Travelogue 2, all kinds of stuff. Our conversation this evening will be crystal technology, will be ancient knowledge that has been lost to us, future knowledge that can be gained for us, as well as the mystery of the crystal skulls themselves. What are they? Where did they come from? How many are there that are actual channels from other places? We will be getting into that conversation here in just a little while. Before we do, let's hop on over real quick and check out the news of the week over on the Dudes and Beer Facebook group. If you aren't a member of the Facebook group, hop on by. It's real simple. Just search Dudes and Beer. You'll find both the page and the group. We've also got the guest voicemail box. You can leave messages there. Right now, they are actively searching for a second possible location where patient zero, they have identified patient zero, of course, of COVID-19, and they are attempting to say that it's coming from possibly another wet market that his parents frequented. In addition to that, the new Mars Express has unlocked some new secrets about the curious cloud that comes out of the volcano all the time on Mars. There has been some fantastic research done on CBD and plaque and Alzheimer's. There has been the discovery of the world's first preserved sitting dinosaur, the dinosaur sitting on a nest of eggs with fossilized babies. That's out of Eureka Alert. We post a lot out of there. We should really get somebody from Eureka Alert on the show. There was a beautifully touching article out of The Guardian about a Myanmar nun who pleaded with police at a riot to take her life instead of the life of the children that were there. And then there was the news about maskless Uber passengers assaulting cough on and pepper spray driver after he refuses them service. This is the world that we're in, ladies and gentlemen. This is the society that we're dealing with right now, is people like actively attacking folks for saying, "Get out of my car," like my own car. So, yeah, it's interesting. And we have come to a point in society where it seems like there is huge change coming about in great ways and huge change coming about in some kind of scary ways. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight, is some of the answers, some of the questions that have come about from the crystal skulls, from the time of the first discovery by Mitchell Hedges, up until modern day, and even people like Joshua Shapiro, who were actively searching for the blue skull down in South America. Now, if you're wondering how you can keep track of everything, folks, super easy. Hop on by dudesandbeer.com/app right now. Sorry, Orchard Dwellers. Once again, we are still looking for an X-coder to be able to help us convert our actual binary and code into Xcode, but we do have a Dudes and Beer Android app. Feel free to stop on by, click the picture there, and it'll give you the install APK. Download it to your device, click install, okay, and away you go. You'll be getting all the episodes right there. You get the live player. There's a tip calculator for whenever you're out and about, when the world and your life relaunches. All kinds of great stuff. Dudesandbeer.com/app is the place to go to get that right now. For privacy's sake, and the way, just the way that things have been as of late, I've just decided to keep it on the website. You know, I'd prefer content not be removed from platforms, things like that. So we'll find out if you can actively sideload things onto an iDevice, but that's how it will be available. When we get back from this message from Podcast Cadet, folks, we will be talking to Joshua Shapiro, author of Journeys of the Crystal Skulls Explorers, Travelogue 1 and 2, as well as Mysteries of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, right after this message. There's my cue button.
Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training. That website, again, is PodcastCadet.com.
Sorry about that. Few technical difficulties going on with Facebook and the like, everybody. But we will get that stream up and rolling again. Welcome back. Sorry about the long pause there. But our guest tonight, Joshua Shapiro, so entirely excited to have him on the show to talk about crystal skulls, talk about his exploration for and of these items, truths that have been revealed to him through them, as well as what he has experienced with them. Joshua, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Chris. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Like I said, I have been so entirely excited about this show since our mutual friend Mark hooked us up. I myself am a big believer in crystals. I'm typically either carrying one in my pocket or have them near me regularly. I'm holding a double-pointed quartz and a Lemurian crystal right now. And a lot of people ask me all the time about the Lemurian crystal, and the concept is that a crystal can hold memory. It can basically act like a computer chip and hold data, hold information. And these crystals were programmed with vibration at one point to do certain things. So translates some of that concept into the world of crystal skull anomalies, correct?
It's kind of similar, but I think it's a little more evolved than the way that you've described it. Obviously, the natural piece of quartz itself is going to be embedded with consciousness, crystal consciousness, natural energies from the earth, mineral kingdom, if you will. But what I have found in working with many crystal skulls, this also includes the ones that are being made by modern carvers, as well as those who could be made by let's say, very advanced civilizations in the past, or as some of the indigenous people call them, gifts from the gods, is they seem to have a living consciousness that's connected to it. Because a lot of times, like when I'm working with some of the personal crystal skulls, which I have, and it may sound crazy to some of the people that are listening out there, but believe me, I've talked to many people who are guardians of these skulls, and they tell me similar experience as I'm describing, is there's almost like a personality that's involved with it. You have a conversation. It's there to act as a guide, give you suggestions, help to create certain frequencies of energy in the room. And I have seen this happen with ones that have been made, newly made skulls versus ancient or very old ones as well.
Wow.
So this is the only way I can try to describe in some semblance that makes sense how people are having an interaction, you know, with, let's say, some of their personal skulls.
Sure.
That they're having like a conversation. Now, for me, the way that I hear them is it's in my thinking voice. Like when I read a book, I can't read the book unless I hear the words inside my head. And so when I'm communicating with the skulls, it's either going to be on a feeling sense, which I'm able to interpret into an understanding or words, or I'm going to hear in my own thoughts a communication which I wasn't thinking. It just kind of appears, which is how I think telepathic communication works.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, or like sometimes, you know, you're with somebody and you both come up with the same idea at the very same time. That's a form of telepathy. So that would be how I would look at that situation with the skulls.
And I find that very, very interesting that, like you said, even with modern skulls, and I think, like you're saying, that yes, there is an absolute intelligence to crystal, mineral, earth, period, because of the vibration with which it exists and it lives, it's created.
Right.
And fascinating stuff whenever you start getting into that. But for me, especially as someone who feels crystals, like I don't purchase a crystal unless I feel it. They don't all vibrate to me. They don't all make me tingle in my tummy. But there are ones that do. And those are normally the ones that I will purchase no matter what, as soon as I touch them. And some of that, yes, is the natural, but also somewhat imbued. And I think especially when somebody is working quartz, working a crystal, almost like a sculptor, you know, anything like that, you are imbuing something into it. You know, you're vibrating in a certain way when you're creating it. You know,
and it's the same with the crystal skulls. Say you go into a store and you're looking for one. Which one should you pick? Well, you shouldn't necessarily pick the one that's the most beautiful or has the most profound colors. Pick it based on the vibrational frequency. Does it resonate with you?
Yeah.
Like take the example of the large smoky quartz skull I have called Portal de Luz, Portal of Light, who is made by a very skilled Brazilian carver who I've met and who's my friend, and who even asked me, because he didn't understand it in early on, why are people want this? You know, what's happening? I just know to make it, but I don't understand, you know, why are people asking to have my skulls? And I said, it's because of the vibrational frequencies and energies that are connected to it. So like Portal de Luz, you know, he's like, My he's an extension of me in a lot of ways. We work together, and you know, he's like an ambassador. He gives people an opportunity to kind of experience what it's like to be in the presence of the crystal skulls. So the one thing though that I have to try to explain is because our culture, our society is so polarized about the image of a human bone skull representing death, evil, and doom, these crystal skulls that were created by advanced civilizations, brought as gifts by the gods or used by indigenous people. They were a sacred object that carried very special frequencies of energy. And in a sense, like one time I did a talk in the Seattle area to Microsoft employees, because I had a friend who I went with to Peru. She joined our tour. And I said, do you think I could give a talk on crystal skulls to people in Microsoft? And she set it up for me. So I looked at them and I said, you guys work with the modern computers, but I think that the crystal skulls at one time were the ancient computers, because they're able to store all kinds of information, frequency, probably light coloring or light codes. And I think that this is one of the reasons that they were a gift from the gods to us as a tool for awakening consciousness in humanity that also was in the shape of our own human bone skull, which then creates a symbiotic relationship with us.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, with that in mind, let's kind of start cracking the nut a little bit on the history of the crystal skulls. When they first came to, I guess, knowledge to modern man, I suppose really the first example would probably be the famed Mitchell Hedges skull, which we have up on screen right now.
Actually, I think that's the British Museum crystal skull.
Oh, you are correct. You're correct. That is the British Museum skull, which was shortly after that.
Yeah, so historically wise, soldier of fortune, archaeologists, collectors, they were going into Mexico and they started finding these crystal skulls as artifacts in different ancient ruins, you know, Mayan ruins, Aztec, Toltec. And then I guess 1870s, yeah, the Paris Museum started to show a crystal skull on display. I think possibly in the Mexico City also, there may have been museums that were showing these crystal skulls. But there really wasn't a lot of attention on them. It was just kind of like an interesting artifact, although the indigenous people understood that they were sacred tools, which is primarily the reason why I think even till this day today that many of these indigenous people are hiding or guarding some of the crystal skulls they have and not sharing them with the public, because the people go crazy with them. They see them as power objects or, you know, yeah, something to serve self. When I remember from soul memories, which would take me back to possibly Lemuria, definitely Atlantis, that these were tools to help in assisting humanity in those times, not only to be a receptacle of great knowledge and wisdom and healing frequencies and energies, but also too were objects used in sacred ceremonies and, you know, just to really help the civilization be very advanced spiritually. And then I think what happened is, as especially as Atlantis diminished, as it was destroyed, as pieces of it were sent throughout the world, and I have memory of being part of a kind of like an expedition, but we used a levitation craft to go from Atlantis to South America. I see myself going to Peru. I had visions while in Peru of being on board such a craft. Of course, it could be totally my imagination, but Spirit once whispered to me that anything that you can only imagine it because it already exists somewhere else in God's infinite universe. Mm. So anyway, I go with that. If it comes from me, then I trust that myself's not going to lie to me. If I have what looks like a vision or a fantasy, I was guided to go to Peru, and I took a crystal skull, which is the blue one that you mentioned in one of the books. Mm-hmm. So coming back to the history, so the British Museum skull and the Paris crystal skull were two of the main crystal skulls that came out and were on display in museums in the 19th century. A Mitchell Hedges skull, which is still to this day the most famous, probably because it's almost an exact duplicate of a human bone skull. And when it came out, nobody could figure out how could they make something so beautiful and so artistic and so accurate with the tools they had at the time. Now, understand, in modern times now, crystal skull carvers use diamond tip tools that can cut through the quartz like butter. And actually, when Portal de Luz had some damage, and I was very, you know, like I didn't know what was going to happen, I took him to a master carver in Switzerland who said that he would be able to help and to even out, you know, the rough edges and the damage that had been done. And I watched his tools and it cut through him like butter. And I was going, oh, Portal is feeling pain. But of course, you know, he's a mineral. He wasn't. He said, he kept telling me, Dad, he calls me Dad. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. I'm doing great. I'm in good shape now. My energy's reshaped. Everything's perfect. So so the Mitchell Hedges skull doesn't come out until the 1920s when F.A. Mitchell Hedges decides to do his expedition into Belize now, but it was British Honduras before, and looking for evidence of lost Atlantis. And the local Mayan people guided him to a buried city with pyramids. And that's where they found the Mitchell. His daughter actually, you know, was climbing up a pyramid and she saw something reflecting sunlight, and they cut a hole into the pyramid and lowered her in, and she brought out the top part of the skull, because the Mitchell Hedges is a two-piece skull, the lower jaw is separate. So of all the crystal skulls I've seen so far, and I have not physically seen the blue skull, I only have my visions of it, the Mitchell Hedges skull is the one that I resonate the most strongly to. And I think it's because, according to what I felt when the prior owner went while she was alive, Anna Mitchell Hedges, after her father died, she became the guardian. One time I was at a conference, she asked me to watch the skull for her. I felt like that skull knew my soul. It's not going to just ask anybody to come and watch over it while she was gone. Sure. Like I had been a guardian of it before, I'd been working with it in the temples of Atlantis, where I think the crystal skulls were. So so for a time, the three main skulls that were known publicly, and there was a book done by, gosh, I forgot the man, Richard Garvin. There we go. So many different things have gone on, it's hard to remember everything. Richard Garvin wrote a book in the 70s, and it featured those three skulls, the British and the Mitchell Hedges skull. But right after that book came out, then all of a sudden, within 5 years, going into the early 1980s, many more crystal skulls started to come out. Some from that were held in private hands, some were found in the ground, some were being carved by modern carvers. So where we are right now is there are thousands and thousands and thousands of crystal skulls available. And it's not just the new ones being carved. It's also a lot of the older ones that are being found in the ground, connected to sacred ruins.
Oh, wow.
You know, like the one person, Jaime Musan, who's a famous UFO researcher in Mexico, he interviewed me for his TV show, and he actually had a rose quartz skull, which I meditated with, and I had a very profound experience with, because I think it wasn't quite an old skull that had been found. It rolled out of the ground. They say in Mexico, you kick the ground and crystal skulls roll out of it. So there's a lot of skulls, I think, either in private hands, either with indigenous people, or that are still sitting in the ground that have yet to been uncovered. So the key question then would be, and you know, there's many theories about this, why were there so many crystal skulls used by people in these very old civilizations? There must be something important that they would feel inspired to have crystal skulls and to use them in sacred ceremony.
Well, and you know, once again, I think a lot of it comes back to sacred geometries, sacred shapes.
Yes.
The fact that, I mean, the human body was revered enough. They, especially the South American cultures where most of these skulls came from historically, practiced ritualistic sacrifice, you know.
So the skulls are like any other tool gifted to humanity. They can be used for tremendous good.
Sure.
Or they can be misused. And or copies can be made to try to gain their power. So the one thing that I try to caution people with is, like, if there are stories, because I actually met a skull in Mexico when I went there to speak at a conference, where it actually made me sick. The energy around it must have been very horrific. Man's inhumanity to man. Maybe it was used in sacrifices. Sure. I don't know. Normally, I can heal myself, but there's a different kind of energy in Mexico that I've experienced than anywhere else, where it's both good and bad. So in other words, like white magic and dark magic. And I had to actually have a local healer try to heal me. It could have also been, too, that I was profoundly affected when I went into there's a Mayan ruin or Aztec ruin with pyramids. And, I mean, when you walk on those pyramids, you absolutely see and know there's no way that the primitive people could have made this. This is an advanced design and structure. And I was blown away. But also I remembered that, again, I had like an energy headache. You know, I had to rest. I was overwhelmed. That's how powerful the energy was. So.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people look at me like I'm a little touched whenever I tell them that I feel crystals, that I feel minerals. And I don't think it's that crazy. I don't think it's that out there. I mean, we regularly use the exact same things and exact same compounds to build circuitry, things like that, to utilize the same principles.
Right. And, well, I think what it is with quartz crystal, I think it's like Marion Bradley Zimmer. We have a dog in the background. You may hear barking. Marion Bradley Zimmer wrote a book called House Between the Worlds. And normally I don't read her stuff, but I remember that book. And it's like, if you're on a spiritual path, there's going to be certain books you read that are going to reveal to you a profound truth that totally resonates with you. And in her book, she said, quartz crystal is one of the few substances that when it goes from one dimension into another, it stays as quartz crystal. Uh-huh. Now, if that is the case, that means that it is a substance that allows multi-dimensional communication and sharing of different frequencies.
Sure.
So naturally, a person like yourself, or the same for me as well, because, you know, there's a lot of skulls made of a lot of different gemstones.
Absolutely.
But quartz is the one I resonate with the most powerfully. People who are sensitive to different frequencies of energy, they're going to pick up the frequencies that are, you know, involved with different stones. And quartz is, you know, one of the stones that it's not just to be used in our modern electronics. It is a tool for helping a person in their spiritual evolution and growth as well, because it elevates your vibrational frequency and it links you into these other dimensional frequencies as well as you become more adept to working with them. It's like tuning a radio set. You know, your radio set in the beginning only has a few channels, but as you with energies, then all of a sudden you have many different channels that you can link into.
Yeah.
That's what the quartz crystal, I think, helps people with, is to link into a multitude of different frequencies of energy. And if there is this living consciousness inside, it's working with that person through itself in order to help the person to grow and expand their spiritual part and their creative part.
Sure, absolutely. I myself, even whenever I went on my honeymoon with my wife to Cancun, took my crystals with me to at least the ones that I keep near me all the time. I took them with me whenever we went to Chichen Itza and, you know, went to the observatory, things like that, and meditated with them and got to recharge them there with some great energy.
And that's what you do with the crystal skulls, too. You take them with you. It experiences your energy and the energies around you. And if you take them to sacred sites or have them meet their brother and sister skulls, then the vibrational frequency inside of them will change and shift, which sometimes you can see and which is not supposed to happen, but I've watched this inside of Portal de Luz and some of our other skulls, internally they become completely different.
Well, and with that in mind, let's start talking a little bit about the messages. Let's start talking a little bit about this communication that you're talking about, because like you said, there you own numerous skulls. You have visited skulls around the world. I myself still need to contact the owner of Max down the road for me. I live in Austin, and Max the Crystal Skull is right down the road in Houston. And I've been wanting to set up an appointment to visit Max for years, so I need to follow through with that in 2021. But let's start talking a little bit, because I myself went and subscribed to your newsletter.
Thank you.
I have been loving it. I always support the people that come on my shows, whether it's buying their books, reading their newsletters. It really does give you a lot more insight into the longevity of message and what people are really about. You know, you may catch something in and out. I'm a huge Coast to Coast fan, which, of course, you've been a guest on. But whenever you catch somebody in passing for 30, 40 minutes, it can be hard to get the depth and breadth of things. But over the last 3-4 weeks since we got connected, I've been reading the ebooks, been you know, catching up with the newsletter, things like that, and I absolutely love what you guys are about. Tell us a little bit about the ebook series before we start getting into messages from ancient civilizations.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge Katrina's picture there that you're showing on the screen. Without Katrina, I would be nothing. She is the mother of all of our crystal skulls, and she really takes care of them. Plus, when people get crystal skulls through us, she's the one who activates them and gets them prepared for the next person. Yeah, so she has a lot of gifts, and they communicate with her in a different way. And really, Crystal Skull Explorers is a triangle of Katrina, myself, and our what I call our crystal kids. So both of us there are holding Portal de Luz, but we have about 30 skulls. Now, the free ebooks that you asked about, this is a special gift to any viewer, listener of this show. Let me take a drink here. And what I mean by this is they're all free. There's three of them. And I have been inspired for every show that I've been interviewed for to offer these three free ebooks. One, obviously, is the Crystal Skull free ebook. I'm getting a little bit choked up here. They must be really powerful. just a joke. So the Crystal Skull free ebook is the one that they're kind of seeing the cover of right now. It's about 100 pages, talks about definitions of the skulls, introduces some of our personal skulls, some of our experiences. Actually have an interview with Bill Holman with the Mitchell Hedges skull. So it has a lot of good information for a free ebook, and then links, of course, to our websites and our books. The second book is a little more kind of exploratory. It's about, is there a computer simulation? Are we in a computer simulation? Now, I have a web page which I can send people, or you could post this if you want to, where all three ebooks are on the same page. It's on a new website that we're having done, so it's kind of half finished. So this second book talks about if we're in a computer simulation. And there was one summer where Katrina was visiting her family, and I had time to myself, and I went on YouTube and I found all these amazing videos that kind of, I think, made one think about the possibility that we could be in a computer simulation. There was actually a scientist, I can't remember his name, who I did try to contact, and he wouldn't talk to anybody who was involved in spiritual things, because apparently after he said this publicly, he got a lot of flack, where he found a binary code embedded in all of creation in our universe.
Oh, wow.
So I have a link in that book to his video and some other videos. And also there's a possibility I shared in that book that when we went in Peru, which is covered in the Blue Skull book, I edit that in the latest edition, we visited this huge stone door called Amaru Maru, which in the local Indian language, their name for it is Gateway of the Gods, that it could possibly be a doorway that leads to the scientists who created our universe. There is a person, Jerry Wills, who I've met before, that said a shaman, I don't know why I'm coughing so much, the shaman gave him a musical note to sing in front of this huge stone door in the southern part of Peru by Lake Titicaca in Bolivia. And he went through the door and he met the scientists and he saw what our universe looked like from their perspective. And the key thing he said to them was, we created this so we could understand our universe, but we didn't put any life into it. And all of a sudden life just showed up. So that's where he claimed they came from. So that's interesting. But the last book, which is called Messages from Argus, has two key experiences that I had. One I call my coma experience when I lived in Las Vegas in 2000, where a van struck me from behind and I was in coma for 3 days. And I know I went to this special interdimensional meeting with thousands of beings who were talking about the future of our planet. And then the second experience was when I was in Brazil some years after that. I remember being on the computer, because Brazil has a very high frequency. It's one of the places where they have these spiritual healers that don't use any instruments. And actually, the first woman I married, she got healed by them, which was quite some time ago. And I received a message from my future self who said his name is Argus. So that message that Argus communicated to me about what life will be like in 2037 to 2040, I put it into the book. And I actually created a whole story called Crystal Skull Chronicles around it, which I have on one of my older websites, the VJ Enterprise website. So unfortunately, I have two stories. One, both are trilogies. Journey into the Unknown and Back Again, which you've showing the cover here, is the one that I've been able to publish working with my friend Karen in the UK. And the other one, Crystal Skull Chronicles, we have a version of it written, but I still haven't felt inspired yet to release it, although we did try to make a movie out of the first book of it. So, or actually, it would be book two of it. Yeah. Because Journey of the Crystal Skull Explorers was talking about something that happened in the past during the time of Atlantis, then bringing us forward to a total transformation of the world with the 13 skulls in modern times. And then the last book would go into the future, what the Earth would be like after world peace happened because those 13 skulls came about. So Message from Argus has that message and talks about my coma experience, what I saw, and why I know certain things that I know that are happening now, because I saw them at that meeting like 20 years ago. So that's what the three free ebooks are. So probably the easiest way for your listeners to get it is either you could have the link on your website of the page that has the three of them, or they can send me an email at crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com, and then I can send them a link to the page and also two other special interviews with Gene Decode to talk about what's happening now. And, that would be a good way for them to get started.
Yeah, and it really has been, like I said, super interesting going through reading the newsletters that you guys put out regularly, and the what I have been reading so far in Crystal Skull, the volume one of Crystal Skull Explorers, Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers. Absolutely fascinating to me. Like I said, I myself have my own crystal moments. I'm a rock hound, I think, for that reason. Because I've always just been drawn to them. I've always just had a fascination with rocks and minerals to a, almost to a point of obsession. Like my wife and I actively explored having our wedding in the rocks and minerals exhibit at the Houston Museum of Natural Science, because it's such a personal place to me. And it, for me, knowing that someone like you has also had their experiences, their touches like this, where they've had moments of otherworldly connection through these objects. Do you think that it is necessarily because you've, I guess you've had these experiences with historic skulls as well as modern skulls. So, have your experiences varied? Has there been a different, I guess, vibration or feeling to them depending on what they are and where they've come from and their personal history? Because I mean every one of them, I mean they, you kind of have to think of it, folks, as like magnetite. Whenever lava cools, it forms magnetite and it fixes itself to geographic north, you know, to magnetic north. And it remembers that moment in time, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say now we have to go by the definition how the crystal skull community looks at these skulls.
Absolutely.
So the ones that have been made, say 2,000 years and older, because they've been with many civilizations and people and who could have made them, they tend to have very intense high frequencies of energy. However, what you need to understand is, because I've done this with some of our skulls, with mostly our modern made skulls, is we put them in the presence of what they call their older brothers and sisters. Mm. And there are energies that get transferred from one to the other. So, like, for example, the amethyst crystal skull known as Me cured its guardian of a blood vessel that wasn't growing properly in his head, and Portal de Luz got to spend an entire evening, you know, sitting on a table with a Me while I was sleeping. And when I went to Poland, there were two people with a similar type of problem, and they both chose Portal de Luz as the skull to hold to receive a healing energy.
Interesting.
So, and plus, the other thing is, if there is this living consciousness, which is of a dimensional quality or a spiritual quality,
sure,
then any crystal skull could be infused by such a being, which would take it from being an ordinary crystal to an extraordinary crystal because of the level of consciousness working through it. Example would be what the Mitchell Hedges skull actually showed me when I met it in San Francisco. I think it was in 1986. Anna Mitchell Hedges, who was the guardian at the time, came to a big conference there. I was living in the area working with my co-authors, Nasserino and Bowen. And so I had a chance to go up to the table where Anna Mitchell Hedges was sitting and have a few minutes with the skull. So I start talking telepathically to the skull, and I knew that it was creating holographic images inside of it because my co-authors had worked with Miss Mitchell Hedges for a couple of weeks, and they were taking all kinds of the skull using color, light, and sound. And so this something inside said, okay, I'm going to show you. So it said, watch. So first I saw an etheric image of the skull rise out of itself and float above it. Wow. And I actually have a picture of that in this book that you're showing on the screen right now, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed. There's a picture of that. It's in Sandra's chapter, I believe. And then it said, now look at the crystal and see what you feel. And I felt that the crystal of this skull was normal. There was nothing special about it whatsoever. So it said, now you understand that it's this energy or consciousness that works through it, or that's been gathered and collected over thousands and thousands of years, if this is an Atlantean crystal skull. And this is what is giving it its power and focus. Now, Nusco, when it first comes out, it's going to be empty. How do I know that? Because there was one time where this production company from England invited me to meet them at a hotel in San Francisco. This was like, I think, 2011. And I was traveling with Katrina, and we were looking for our new home, and we eventually wound up in Seattle. But we had to go to San Francisco to meet these people. And when I walked into the room for the interview, there was a skull, clear quartz, that looked like the Mitchell Hedges skull. But I could tell from the frequency of energy that it had, which was empty, it was not. And so I asked him, where did you get this skull? Oh, we had the original measurements of the crystal skull, and we sent it to these carvers in China, and we had them make a skull. And so after that skull had sat with our skull, I'm sure it had energy. But before, it had nothing. It was empty. It was just a beautifully done carved skull with no frequency and no energy. So this is primarily the reason why I talk about this level of consciousness, that something intelligent is working through the skulls to help humanity. And it can work through these skulls, whether it's a very old one or a very new one.
That is fascinating to me, because, and like I said, I think a lot of it goes not only into the intent and use of the skull, but the intent and the use of the maker. You know, I mean, even right now I'm pulling up the Mohs hardness scale, and just to name a few things randomly out there, folks, that are harder than quartz, which basically means like you would be able to carve quartz with it.
Right.
Topaz, corundum, which includes ruby, sapphire, diamond. Those are the things that are harder than quartz. So if right. you think that we value these minerals, imagine what it was for an ancient culture to be using a chunk of diamond or ruby to carve this sacred item for use. You know, like the like I said, it would be a process that would probably take two lifetimes to do. Without any kind of modern tooling or anything like that.
Well, the carvers have secret techniques passed down from family members that allowed them to make their carving. So, but I'm sure the very old ones, that they use lasers or very advanced technology, or if they didn't transform a human bone into quartz, you know, there's a lot of different theories.
Or if it
physically manifested out of nowhere, it was an ant port, which we do have a skull that was ported through a medium. It's a monkey-looking skull. Ooh. Made out of opalite. It has fire opalite. And I had a vision that was going to happen while I was in the bathroom relaxing, and I thought, you know, it's a joke on myself. But then it happened with this friend who was a medium, who actually aborted a second skull that came above him through the air in his bedroom, he says. So I wasn't there for that one, but I saw it, and I did see the one that came out of his mouth, some energy vortex in his mouth that spirit used to abort all kinds of jewelry, and like 40 items came out that night.
Wow.
And the skull was one of them, and he gifted them to the people there. So obviously they knew who the skull was supposed to go to.
Wow. And to know that there are things like that associated with these is just beyond comprehension for the average person to think about. Porting of something through telepathic ability or through connection with another dimension and interdimensional communication and transport. But like you said, if quartz itself, in and of itself, has a transdimensional quality, then it would be pretty easy, I would think, or not easy, so to speak, but it would be feasible at that point for such a thing to happen.
Definitely. And the other apportation that was interesting, which happened around this medium, was he had our skull Rosalita, which was made by the same Chinese carvers. So it's rose quartz, but it looks a bit like the Mitchell Hedges skull with a movable jaw. And while he was meditating with it, a 17-pointed crystal appeared in one of its eyes. And I was told it was a gift for us, which I don't know where we have that crystal. But I was looking at the skull, and I never saw him put anything into it. It just appeared in the eye. So wow. That was interesting. And, yeah, that's the picture of Rosalita there that you're showing. That's the largest skull we have. But she doesn't talk. She's just love. That's it. She just sends out healing and love, and she likes to be with her brothers and sisters, and that's it. But she's a special member of our group too.
Now, for some listeners that may think, like I said earlier, that we've gone down a more than esoteric rabbit hole. Let's just say, I find that okay. I am of a different ilk than some folk. I myself have had my revelatory and even religious experiences in life. So those were life fixing for me, as well as the revelation of the feeling of quartz crystal, things like that. So for me, they carry equal weight in the world, but not for everybody. And before we get into this next segment, because I really, really, really want to get into messages from Argus and some of the messages that you have been given. I think that we kind of have to give people that quote in this day and age, that trigger warning, you know, that you may be about to hear something that you find utterly incomprehensible and totally unbelievable. Be willing to have something totally incomprehensible and unbelievable in your life. I guarantee you, if you talk with this gentleman, as we will this evening in further detail, when he first had his experience, very much the same thing. It's just one of those that until it happens to you, it's incomprehensible and unbelievable. And when it happens to you, it is all but undescribable.
Right. And it's the key. People have to have their own experience of things, because it's very hard if you've never had an experience. Well, what is this person talking about? I can't relate to it. It doesn't work with my philosophical beliefs, my religious beliefs, my understanding of the universe. How could they have that experience? So I remember when I was in that state, after I came out of college, and I was talking to people who had their own paranormal or spiritual experience, I said, it's not possible, not that it didn't happen. I need to understand, why did that happen? Now, that's the better question to be asking, is to do your own investigation to try to figure out, because most people, we won't say this about those that believe they're in charge of our world, let's say, but most people are honest people, and, you know, they're just going to tell you their experience, and it's up to you if you agree or you don't agree with
it. That's right.
And it's the same thing with the skulls. You know, you may have been brought up that this skull form is death, doom, and evil, and how could it have all these positive, amazing effects in taking people into connection with God and extraterrestrials and interdimensionals and healing and sacred knowledge and information and helping them develop their creative gifts and bringing positive things into their life? But it's because the bottom line is, everything is energy. And, the power of the mind controls the energy, which in a way is representation of how the universe works through the universal mind of Creator. If Creator stopped thinking about us, we would all disappear. But Creator, I heard this message one time. I was thinking this question. How does Creator receive something from each of us, because we're so insignificant compared to the immensity of not only this universe, but multiple universes and multiple dimensions. And, you know, it's so big. And the voice inside of me said, why, your experiences, of course, your unique experiences. So if we are all part of the one thing which we call God, then Creator receives through each of us from our unique experiences, good or bad or whatever. Creator wants to experience every conceivable reality. So that means that a lot of people judge themselves, they're bad or something. No, you're not bad. You're just making things that don't work for you. Change them. Make a different choice. Creator has infinite love and patience for all of us and wants to experience what it's like to be you. So you can't do anything wrong. You can only have an experience. Well, so the crystal skull is one experience available to people.
Well, you know, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because through my years of esoteric study, through volumes of books and various world religions, that's where I really started, was in world religious studies and world philosophy, and then started going down arcane rabbit holes, so to speak, what most people would consider apocrypha. And to go through, and when I first started reading Kabbalah, the concept of every letter in the Hebrew alphabet having a number, and the number for, I believe it's Hod, is one, which is God. And no number exists without the number one, and yet still all numbers partake of the number one. And it was like, wow. Wow, like, what a beautifully simplistic way to translate such a universally huge concept, and to let everybody understand that you are part of the divine, and the divine is part of you.
Right. In Hebrew, Yahweh, Yad Heh Vav Heh, is 26, which is 2 times 13. 13 is a very sacred number. And it comes up with 12 planets around the sun, if you believe that we do have 12 planets here. In the religions, 12 apostles around Christ, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the priests, the Levites. So 12 plus 1 always comes up a lot, 13. So God is 2 times that sacred number in Hebrew.
Even with the ancient crystal skulls. Because in 2012, and you know, yes, folks, there was, like, when I started prepping for this episode, Joshua, my wife was like, whoa, wait a minute. You mean like that Indiana Jones movie? I was like, yeah. But you realize most of those were based on actual research and actual theories and actual concepts. And yes, in 2012, there was a huge reuniting of ancient made crystal skulls.
Well, there was a huge uniting because there were so many ceremonies. And by 2012, there were probably hundreds of thousands of skulls that were linked to crystal skull guardians. Like, for example, in, I think it was 2016 or 2017, we did Crystal Skull World Day. And I heard that there was one place in Quebec, and I'm still in touch with that group, where they had like about 70 or 80 people there. They had over 1,000 skulls in one place. And I had never heard.
Wow.
Together. Okay, but that was just one place. So I have no idea for Crystal Skull World Day, you know, let's say we had 500 or 1,000 people participate all over the world. Well, most of those people had multiple skulls. So there could have been 10, 20, 30,000 skulls that were participating with us for a peaceful energy for the planet.
Wow. That is absolutely incredible. And one of those moments where it really is the conglomeration of greater vibration of people that really lifts that event to the next level. The intent behind all of the people there, you know.
Exactly. The crystals are just amplifying the intention of the people coming together, basically.
Yeah, and that goes even for the skulls, like you said, where you experienced sickness physically holding one because of the possible ceremonies that it took place in its history. So let's start with that kind of as a touchstone going into messages from ancient civilizations about and from the skulls about what is to come, because our pre-show conversation was like I'm still fingertips tingling from that. And
well, you got to be careful when you talk to me. You never know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Oh, you're my kind of guest, Joshua. So
when you ask me this question, I think back to day one as a crystal skull explorer. Now, I'm looking at the books you have up there. If they look at the one with the dark purple cover, they see two skulls facing each other, a purple one and a kind of bluish one, although it's actually gray. That's it. In reverse, you reversed image that one there. That's the one I'm talking about. So the purple one is called the Mi. This is the first official, I think, ancient crystal skull I had the privilege to be in the presence of. I got to see it in person two times in my life, and both times were very powerful. They changed me forever. But the first time I met a Mi was with a photograph of it, where I was going to this bookstore to see if they wanted copies of my first book, which I don't think you had up, Journeys of a Crystal Skull Explorer, was the one I did in the early 80s. And when I visited the owner of this bookstore in San Jose, California, she pulled out a picture of this amethyst skull, which now we know is called a Mi, which means friend. So while I'm holding and looking at the picture of a Mi, I feel inside I have like an inner earthquake. My body is literally shaking inside. I had no idea this was going to happen, and at that point I wasn't sure why. And then about a half an hour later, the picture was sitting on a table as we were talking. I was with a friend, and we were visiting with the owner of the bookstore, and there was a real earthquake in Kalinga, California, which is about 150 miles south of San Jose. So I call this my inner and outer earthquake experience. But somehow I remember from the picture I was getting this message. And this is the main message that guides me from day one of being a crystal skull explorer in April of 1983 while making first contact with a Mi. Through the picture, a Mi said to me, "We are coming back into the awareness of humanity. We've been kind of like isolated or hidden for many, many years, but now we're returning and we're going to assist humanity to create world peace." So this is the reason why we're coming back now. And so that to me still represents the main message the crystal skulls have given to me, because everyone that I've worked with, whether it's a personal skull or one in the museums or one of the ancient ones, they all are part of a program to be a key tool to assist humanity to go into a golden age. And for a lot of people, especially right now, we're living in a very crazy world, and I absolutely can guarantee you we're not going back to where we were at the end of 2019. Our world will never be that way again. We're either going to move, as Jean Decode, who's kind of like this whistleblower I've been talking to, says, there's two timelines that are in front of us. There's one timeline of total peace and harmony, and there's another timeline where we go kind of some people type timeline where we lose all of our freedoms, everything becomes communistic and governed by a few people. Because really that's the war that's going on in consciousness right now. The white hats, the alliance, if you wish, fighting with the globalists, the elite, the cabal, the deep state, whatever name you want to give to them. And so the message of the crystal skull and the idea that they're coming back is in a way proof for me that this conflict to take us into a higher state of being was going to eventually come out physically where everybody could see it. I mean, everybody can see now what's going on. We've got the pandemic still going on, which I think it's already gone now, but I can't prove that. That's my intuition. We've got the vaccines going on. We have all this things going on around what happened in the U.S. election and now in Myanmar, which is Burma. The military has taken over because they said there was a fraudulent election there. I don't know if that's true or not because the military is doing too much violence, I think, against the protests. But the world as a whole, we're in a great upheaval right now. And I think that the upheaval is basically around the concept, which could be why the crystal skulls are coming back now to help us through this, is that the old systems do not work anymore because they're not based on the truth. They're not based on God's principles of love and total respect and harmony and peace, because this is the essence of what God is. And apparently, if people are really paying attention to all the information coming out, there has been a lot of I don't like to really talk about it because we already have enough fear with the pandemic and the vaccines and everything going on. But there's a lot of very unkind things that have been happening behind the scenes that have affected many people, especially children. And this is all coming out so that the world can be cleansed. And so what I'm trying to tell your listeners is based on my coma experience of seeing our future and now watching part of it happen, and plus the message I got from Argus about what 2037 to 2040 would look like, I know with absolute certainty, and I have another way to prove it, which is also in one of the free ebooks, that we are headed for a positive future. I cannot tell you the steps. You know, a lot of people think they know. They think there'll be an emergency broadcast system that will come out and the military will take charge and they're arresting these people and all that. But, you know,
one hopes,
I don't.
But
right, we hope, but I don't have any proof of it. But it seems to me like, you know, why would they make these things up? You know, it's obvious, and they keep saying, like, all the way back when John F. Kennedy was president, and maybe this is why he was assassinated, he knew these things were going on, and they started a plan back in the 60s, which is now coming to fruition as well. So here's the one other thing which I mentioned to you that I would highly recommend for people to go on the internet. I think there are YouTubes available that discuss this about Project Looking Glass. Project Looking Glass, according to what I heard on an interview done by Carrie Cassidy for her show, she interviewed a Mr. Wood, and you've already brought it up, so people can see that there's a lot of information about this. It seems that in the connection that we've had, which has not fully been revealed yet, but many people suspect is true, contact with different galactic races, that the Stargate system that we saw in Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis, that this is real. This is not imaginary, that this actually exists. And purportedly, they took a part of that technology and they made a different device called the Looking Glass, where when you come into the presence of it, you think or you imagine a scenario you want to create, and Looking Glass shows you the potential of what could happen. So purportedly, both the white and the dark side have been using this device in order to see what could be coming up in the future. However, Mr. Wood in the interview said, if you think about a game of chess where you have two masters playing, there eventually will come a point in the game where either the opponents will come to a draw, they can't beat each other, you know, they went through all their moves, they used their best moves, or one will recognize that there is nothing they can do to stop the other from winning. And so he said that this is kind of like what happened with Project Looking Glass, that I believe he said in 2012, Project Looking Glass would only show one future that was going to happen, no matter what. Whoever had it was going to do, if they were going to try to change that future, no matter what plans they tried to work with, it would not change it. And purportedly, it was the side using it for personal benefit, and they didn't like the future they saw. So they stopped having people use the device around 2012. Now, this was kind of echoed in a talk that I heard by, I forgot this guy. He was involved with the Roswell experiment. Purportedly, he and his brother were the sailors that were on board the Eldridge, and they jumped out and they went into the future when they did the experiment again in 1984. Al Bielek, thank you. Some spirit gave it to me. Al Bielek was his name. He passed away. And his brother was Cameron Preston, I believe. So in any case, when I went to a lecture with Al Bielek, he said a similar type of thing, that they would time travel. They had a device to time travel, but there was a certain series of years, and I think it was like between 2012 or 2013 to 2030 or 2040, where they could not penetrate those years. They could not go in to view them, because some kind of vibrational shift was happening. So that kind of parallels what was going on with them with Project Looking Glass. So Project Looking Glass seems to confirm that what I saw in this meeting I attended, which was back in 1990 when I was in a coma, and the message I received from my future self, Argus, in this lifetime, that we are headed to a positive future. Now, there's a comment that I can make about this for your listeners that I think is very important. We do not need to know here. Our interview is on March 9th of 2021. A lot of people think maybe some key things will happen in March or April, or eventually everything will be revealed. I don't know how that's going to work, because it's not in our time. It's in God's timing. And if there is a war going on, each side is trying to do something to upset the schedule of events the other side's trying to do. But the one thing that we can do is, if we believe in the positive future, visualize it. What would it look like to you if there was only total peace and harmony on our planet? What would the world be like? Visualize that. And if more and more people start to visualize that positive future, we could create what Kevin Keyes called the 100th monkey effect in that book he wrote, I think in the 70s, the 100th monkey, where they taught these monkeys on the islands in Japan how to clean a sweet potato. And after 100 monkeys learned how to do it, all the monkeys on all the islands then knew how to do it. Maybe we'll be the 10,000th or 1 millionth person to fully grasp and understand and see a positive future of peace, and then all of a sudden that consciousness is available to every human being on the planet. So we are powerful and we are co-creators.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you just basically spelled out the anthem of this show. Like, that's the whole reason that I do this. I mean, that's the whole reason that I have people, I say it all the time, like Sev Talk, Terry Lovelace, Aaron Montgomery, people who say that they speak with interdimensional beings, people who say that they have had UFO experiences, things like that. I myself, your host, had my own religious experience where I, more than once in my life, felt the true presence of what I know to be God. Whether you want to call that Jesus, what have you, folks, to me it was just the divine. It was something that I recognized and knew from the depth of me. And from that point forward in life, whenever I was in the presence of the direct opposite, was like on fire. Like, actively knew it in my belly. Like, I need to go from here. I need to leave. And it's just a different connection. And it's being on a different wavelength. It's kind of like the old lady from Poltergeist, you know? Y'all, I keep meaning to get the clip so I can use it at these moments. Where it's, y'all mind stepping back? You're blocking my frequencies. And it really does kind of come down to that, where it is personal experience, it's personal vibration, it's personal communication with these objects that you may have that the next person who touches it may not even tingle.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think we've been given a lot of different tools to work with to help, because everybody's different. It's like we're each a unique note in God's infinite symphony. So why, for one, a crystal skull may be the tool, another might be a crystal. Yeah. It might be seeing auras. It might be working with natural remedies, herbs, whatever it is. We each have our talents and skills.
Sure.
That we can use to help people. But I think where we are right now is people can't sit on the side anymore. It's like we have to, we the people, as they say here in America, we have to take the bull by the horns and make the difference. And how we make the difference is by what we say, by what we do. I mean, if there's some information you find, because there's a ton of information on the internet that's talking about the pandemic, the vaccines, the masks, the social distancing, the paranormal, whatever it is that really inspires you, you know, the best way to do is to share it with other people, but not force them on them. You know, say, I have some interesting information. Make them curious. You know, I had this interesting experience. You probably wouldn't want to know about it, but it totally changed my life. And then you'd be quiet. And if the person's soul really wants that person to know in that moment this experience that might help them to understand themselves, they'll ask you.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you could tell, hey, there's this great website. I don't know if you'd be interested. That's called a release statement. But you might want to check it out. You might want to see what this is about. Or you might want to see what this doctor is saying. Because there's a lot of doctors now who are speaking out. The masks are weakening our defense, our immune system. Or that the vaccine is very dangerous. And these are the professionals who know. And it's like, but why is the media and social media doing everything they can to make sure you don't hear anything from those people? Mm. What is it that they're telling that's the truth? This is the mentality you have to be in now. If something is censored, it's being censored because it's got too much of the truth. It's not because they're trying to protect you from something bad. It's trying to protect you from something good. I mean, it's too obvious about all this censorship that's going on right now. So a logical person should be able to look at these things and say, you know, all these things changing, these are not good things that are being changed. These are things that are being changed so somebody can control or take all my, like they're talking about a great reset, which is not the reset that I understand, a financial reset that's going to happen, where they take all your property and everything and they give you some money to live on, and then you're at their mercy. So all of this is coming out right now, and I have to agree with what Gene Decode said in one of his interviews, which I have links to those interviews that I can send you to in the emails. He said, people are deciding which timeline do they want to be on. Do they want to be on the positive, harmonious Earth timeline, like in Sliders, if you ever saw that TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel, where they kept traveling from parallel Earth to parallel Earth? Or do you want to be on the timeline where the Democrats and Biden, or whoever's going to take over for Biden, if it's Harris or whatever, that they're going to decide everything?
Yeah.
You know, if you're coming from fear, then maybe what happens is you switch with one of your other selves in a timeline where that very dark reality is going to happen, and that part of you who's more positive comes over here to this timeline. Because that's where I think the Mandela effect is coming from. Why does one person remember in Field of Dreams, if you build it, he will come, and other people say, no, if you build it, they will come? No, the whole point of the movie was he will come, meaning at the end, the character Kevin Costner plays, his father shows up as spirit, and he finally gets to work out with his father all the problems they had when he was alive. And it wasn't just his father's, you know, baseball hero, Shoeless Joe Jackson, although he thought that's what it meant if he said, if you build it, he will come. but it really was his father, not the eight ball players coming. So, you know, there's a lot of amazing things that are happening in our world right now, Chris. And people have to be, I saw this quote by somebody, and I'm gonna say it again and paraphrase it. We have to be open that everything that we've ever been taught, that a whole new truth may come to totally take us into a whole new earth. We have to be aware and open for that. And I think that that's part of the reason I chose to be here on the earth at this time.
Yeah.
Is to be one of those people who's going to help people to understand the changes coming. You know, the new, I believe we're going to have a new financial system. We won't need banks anymore. We'll have med beds. We won't need hospitals anymore. Free electricity, free internet. It's going to be literally amazing. They're saying prices will be the prices of the 50s when they make this change. All the currencies will be the same value. Yeah. They'll be backed by precious metals. You know, I don't think any of this is being made up. It all makes a lot of sense to me. It's just we haven't quite seen it yet. So a lot of people are doubters. But maybe this is just another thing to, you know, confuse us or whatever. But
you know what's funny, though, Joshua, is that for years, Art Bell spoke of the quickening, spoke of the rapidity with which technology moved now,
right.
And the tenfold way that technology moves, you know, that really that Moore's Law way, where it just folds, origami style, folds on folds on itself. And it's I mean, even now, a lot of the reason why I started this show was because I'd worked in media. I'd worked in Sidestream and an alternative media, and saw some of these stories, some of these things that you're talking about covered, but covered either like, or as though it wasn't news, or covered as though it was like the doom and gloom that you needed to prepare for. And that's what every commercial was about. And it was horrifying. When at the same exact time, my friend, yes, there are articles like from Berkeley Lab where CERN's Large Hadron Collider creates matter from light. Like, this is from last year.
Right.
This is from all of 6 months ago. And where was this? Where was this story? It was not on any major news. Like, this should have been like man landing on the moon.
Right.
Like, exactly. That, you get ready for replicators from Star Wars and being able to say, like, cappuccino and just having one. People in the desert being able to go water and just getting a glass of it because there's matter around.
Right. Well, we have 3D printers already that are getting ready to come out, but I don't understand them exactly, but I assume you have to put in some kind of material to make all these things. And you can produce food and not just plastic stuff. So it's the beginning of many great technologies. I know some of the whistleblowers have talked about what they have and that hasn't been released yet. So I just see there we're getting ready for a major. And the best thing we can each do is just assume when this explosion happens and the full truth comes out, it's going to elevate us into levels that we cannot even imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I try to imagine, what will it be like if I wake up tomorrow and everything is at total peace and I've got galactics walking down the streets and I have my flying car and my electricity and internet is totally free. I'm 30 again. I'm going to be 66 next month. But I went in the med bed, and now I'm 30, and I'm feeling totally energized. And because I'm in good shape and my body's in perfect harmony, all of my spiritual gifts are now full force, which is kind of what I feel like when I go to Brazil. I feel like I'm in a heightened state. But imagine everybody is like this, and it's normal. This is not just a wealthy person has this. Every single human being on the planet has access to all of this and total freedom to explore and learn and do what makes their heart sing. This is what R just shows me is 2037 to 2040, that there is no other possibility. This is where we're headed. And the key is that we each have some role to play in it. So whatever makes your heart sing, what information you think sounds good to you, resonates for you, see who's open to receive it and share it. Again, Telegram seems to be the best place right now to find all this stuff on. This is where I'm finding a lot of things about what's really going on. And, you know, I look at it and I go, yeah, that makes sense. Or, yes, I saw that when I was in that meeting. Now it's happening now. So I think this year, next year, this is going to be our reality. I think we're really close, and we just have to be patient and let it happen in God's time and not give our power away. Don't be afraid. You know, just go day by day. Do the things that make you happy. I like doing these interviews, so I keep telling you, send me more, send me more. Mark Eddy, he keeps sending me more.
Same here. So he must same be here. When he's universe. Like, "Are you? Do you want to have this conversation?" I'm like, "Dude, I've already told you. You have earned your salt, my friend. Whatever side dishes you want to throw my way, feel free, because you have not missed the mark once." And to connect with people like you, Joshua, that have this same concept, the same, that is why I started this show, is because there is a capital T universal truth out there that is spiritual, but goes beyond any religion.
Right. We're all part of the family. Also, I know Mark is listening, so don't think you're sneaking around. We know you're listening to this interview. And you can make your comments on Facebook tomorrow and tell people what you thought. But, yeah, so I just feel like this is the key for right now, that it always gets to its worst before it gets to its best. So I think we're kind of like that. You know, they keep saying, "Oh, we got to do the pandemic longer and the lockdowns." No, there are several states now that they don't have mask mandates. We don't have one here in Georgia where we live, and they're opening up businesses and
just dropped ours in Texas.
Yeah, in Texas too. So it's like, you know, it's going to shift. It's going to happen. The truth's going to come out. It cannot be held back. So many people are protesting now. So this may not sound like it's so good, but it is in a way. A lot of times, until a large group of people are forced to face a situation that's not so nice, will they literally start taking some action? And that's what I feel is going on right now. More people than ever before are doing something about it. They're helping other people. They're sharing information.
Yep.
You know.
Well, and, you know, I said I myself am a live AV engineer, Mark, Joshua. The conferences that you're normally out speaking at, I'm the dude at the tech table putting a microphone on you and taking your PowerPoint, you know, like that's my job. And I love my job. Like, I live by, you can see my studio behind me. This is just the toys I play with at home.
Nice
and
toys.
It's a passion. It's what I live for. It's what I love doing. And what I've said this whole time is that capital G, God help us all. The one thing that will happen out of this is that unlike 9/11, which was a world-changing situation, you know, it was really since like Chernobyl or the fall of the Berlin Wall, one of the last world-changing situations where like the way that we thought as humanity changed, you know, where it was a stealing point. And I was like, as opposed to 9/11, where a lot of people may have been cursorily impacted, some people maybe knew somebody out of the thousands that died, not to diminish the incident. But this would be something along the lines of nobody will escape the impact, whether it be economic impact, whether it be personal impact of somebody getting sick or somebody that they personally know getting sick. And that has pretty much played out to be the case. And I was like, God willing, this will be something that as humanity steals us together in a whole new way and gives us a new true concept of compassion, the way that compassion is textually meant, like by definition, to suffer alongside. Doesn't matter if you were rich, doesn't matter if you were poor, we all know somebody.
Right. I think what we're is what I would call the reverse false flag phenomena.
Mm.
In other words, for many, many years, we've had many events that have taken place which have been detrimental, but may have been created for a specific purpose to influence people in a certain way. But what I see that's starting to happen is the reverse now. As people are starting to awaken that these false flags and these false events are going on, or false news, false information is being given, they're becoming inspired. So the other side actually is doing us a favor. They're inspiring people to wake up and say, I've had enough, and I'm going to do something in a more positive way. I'm going to create positive flags instead of false flags. I'm going to find ways to bring people together, to work together for the benefit of humanity so that we can create a totally peaceful planet. So this is what I think the energy is tipping now more towards, the more positive events. People are tired of the lockdowns. They're tired of being lied to. There was one thing I saw on Telegram where they just kept saying, all that's happening is the media's lying to us, the social media's lying to us, the politicians are lying to us, the businessmen are lying to us, the doctors are lying to us. We're tired of the lies. Yeah. And so that energy indirectly is inspiring people to take positive action, to take charge of our world and our planet so that we can have total peace. So as I told you in our private conversation, the children of the future, 2037, 2040, will be looking at us and saying, we don't understand anything about these experiences you're telling us about. How could one person possibly think about harming or hurting someone or killing animals or destroying the environment?
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense. We couldn't even think about something like that.
Well, and I mean, prime example, I was recently guest on a show in the UK with Charles Christian. Great guy, awesome show. But I brought up the concept of the 100-year cycle of humanity. Yeah. Like right now, the last time we saw a pandemic like this was the Spanish flu in the 1920s.
Right.
You know, you start looking at even things like the spiritualist movement. And when that happened, around 100 years ago, same thing happening now with the advent of all the paranormal shows on TV and it being the rage. Even now, like echoing the conversation of tonight and the advent of new people carving crystal skulls and making these modern artifacts, Mitchell Hedges. And the worldwide phenom that was when it happened right up around the 1920s. So, right. I mean, there is this cycle to humanity. And when you start seeing that, when you start seeing that, yes, we can absolutely influence things. But most of the time, it's really more follow the tide and do what's right. You know, even what you were talking about right now, there's been a huge conversation on our Facebook page about the Warner Brothers shows that have been canceled and the Disney shows. And granted, Disney didn't cancel them. They just took them off the children's subscription. Like if you have an adult subscription to Disney Plus, I can still watch Dumbo, but it pops up with a screen that says, hey, parents, you should have a conversation with your kids. Social morals and mores have changed. Some of these characterizations are out of date. They are not in inflections of the time right now, and a conversation needs to be had about why they are depicted this way.
Right.
You know, pretty socially responsible. And when you start looking at the same thing, it's you know, like you said, we consciously start having this shift as a mass of people. You know, my wife was a huge lover of the show How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And even she was like, I can't watch it anymore because the character of Barney was just such a Lothario. And that's all he did by, like, any means necessary was get with the lady, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, what a, like, wow. Something that we would never do nowadays, but all of 10 years ago was top of the charts.
Right.
You know? So that's how fast the mass mentality of humanity can shift if we all focus and focus in that geometric concept of a point, you know? because we do have to focus on it. There is so much, as someone who worked in all sides of the media, folks, there is so much there on purpose. There's a reason why you're not seeing the positive great stories like CERN makes matter out of light on the 6 o'clock news. It just don't sell.
Right.
It's not the dopamine fix for your brain that fear is.
Exactly.
And it's sad and it's horrible, but you literally have to search for positive news. You have to wake up with the intent of having a good day. Something horrible may happen, and that's all right. Things happen in the world, but try to have that intent when you wake up, because it really is important.
Exactly. Well, I think we should kind of wrap up our first adventure together here. So let me just make sure our guests again know about the free ebook.
Please.
The website, if they want to contact us. So the email address I have, if you would like to get copies of the three free ebooks, which he's showing on one of our website where one of them are in our free newsletter, is crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. So you just send me an email. You can say you heard me on Chris's show and you want the three free ebooks. I'll also toss in links on Rumble and BitChute. We put these interviews with Gene Decode, which I think you'll find very interesting, talking about what's really going on behind the scenes, which I got to mention a little bit. Website, our best website right now is cse.crystalskullexplorers.com, which actually is the website that Chris is showing you right now. So what you're seeing comes from there. That's our older website. Eventually this year we'll have a newer one. I'm told it'll be easier for millennials. So we'll see how that goes, because I had to use WordPress for this one.
Mm.
And also, you know, you can ask about the free newsletter, which Chris talked about. We have that also. And we also help people get crystal skulls, too. We have these Chinese carvers, and I think there's going to be an extra smoky quartz skull based on our crystal skull called Geronimo Golden Eagle Eye.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of our native skull made out of smoky quartz. That's the one right there. I think they're making two. One has already been ordered. Ooh. So I may have a second one. So if you're looking for your own crystal skull, we have a clear quartz one, another white stone, which I can't remember the name of it because it's too late at night here. But I have
Howlite,
pictures of that.
I think.
Something, yeah, it's like white that. Like that. It's I can't think of the name. I'm not good with the gemstones, but they're aventurine. That's what it is.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so we have a clear quartz of white aventurine with the Geronimo Jr., and then we will have an extra smoky quartz, so wow. Anyone's interested. And the person who's ordering the current one, she actually asked for the people from India to send us the skull so Katrina can do her 1 week charging of it. So that's an extra service that we offer to help people. And we actually put it with the original Geronimo Golden Eagle Eye is the original skull. So those are the things that we're doing. And of course, if anybody has any questions or whatever, they can always email, or if you have some interesting information, I'm always looking at everything. So, you know, be happy to talk about that as well. And I think in the future, you'll probably be hearing more about crystal skulls, especially if we ever get supposedly an original set of 13 together that could create, as my story Crystal Skull Chronicles shows, a very, very powerful energy that literally would take us into 5D if all of those skulls came together in one place and the right ceremony was done.
And come the day that that happens, let me know. I want to be there, and I want to cover that.
Okay.
Because I think that that is an incredible happening. Even I myself, I started playing a while back with things like Tesla coils. I'm a circuit tinkerer, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And started playing with some pretty hardcore Tesla coils and the like, things like that here at home. And my wife was like, listen, until we get a place where you can like have a barn or something that you do that in, no more of that.
Mm-hmm. No,
like you will be the guy that creates the wormhole. Like, no, you can't do that in the room next to our son.
yeah.
So we'll talk about a crystal skull off air. Cause that's different. But I would, like I said, just like I said, with the owner of America's Stonehenge, next time that the big alignment is coming up there, I would love to come up and talk to those guys and be there for the experience and really see that. Really be there, much like going and making an appointment with Max in Houston. Mm-hmm. I think that things like that, when you have the opportunity and you are somebody who is attuned and aligned to such thinking, you should take advantage of that.
Definitely. Portal de Luz really liked Stonehenge.
Now, do you yourself offer appointments? Are you doing any kind of like virtual visitation these days?
Yeah. I still do what I call private sessions, intuitive sessions through Skype or Zoom is the best way. My gift is if I link into the person, I start getting all kinds of insights and information, you know, like their potential or how to help them through different challenges in life. Or a lot of people, the last person I did actually wanted me to explain more about what was happening in the world because she was very confused. And she said after we talked that she had a much greater clarity about how to deal with it. She was mostly having problems with her friends who thought she was nuts and wouldn't listen to, you know, information she was finding about the pandemic and the mask and the whole thing and the election. They just went with what the media was saying, and the media now is not telling the truth anymore. So this is causing great confusion for people because they used to trust the media sources to find out what's going on, and now they're not telling them about a lot of things. So, like, I understand when President Trump spoke at, what was it, CPAC, there were only a few channels Fox covered it, and now YouTube, if there's any videos of that, they've taken them all off. Well, why would they do that? He must have said some really good stuff, huh? And they don't want anybody to hear him because none of the major media, except for Fox, carried him. That was the only one. So, you know, we're in for big changes. This kind of scenario just can't keep going on. So we're here to see a great story take place, a great adventure, how our world is going to move into total paradise, a golden age, whatever you want to call it. I think we're all lucky that we're here to experience this. And there are a lot of souls who are envious of those of us who have this chance to go through this, because I don't think this kind of scenario happens in very many planets throughout the universe. We're kind of unique in a lot of ways. even that we have all these different cultures coexisting with each other, I don't think that that really happens. That's a pretty unique experience between primitive cultures and advanced cultures and different religions and different philosophies. I can hear a lot of galactics looking down and shaking their head as, how can these people possibly coexist and live together when they have so many different ideas about creator and God and reality and the whole thing? So,
yeah.
But I like it. I like the variety. It's great.
Well, and for me, it comes down to the fact of if you are not of open mind, period.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who used to teach religion, and granted, religion, faith in a certain thing, you know, the one thing that I used to end my classes with every year was, I may be lying about all this. Go find out.
Right.
Go read about it. Go educate yourself. If you have a question, seek the answer. Doggedly. Right. Seek the answer. Find out if what I'm saying is a lie. And feel free to confront me with it if so.
Right.
You know? And I say the same thing here all the time. That if it, I mean, there's a reason why I started the Dudes and Beer Knowledge Vault, full of PDFs of declassified government documents, things like that, where whenever we talk to someone and they reference programs, it's like, hey, look, you may think they're just talking out their wazoo, but here's the declassified government document. Like, we actively did this, you know? And yeah, not many people consider that. Not many people think about it. But it's within these, quote, fringe topics and these uncomfortable conversations. These even the concept of receiving messages through a crystal skull. Strange to some people, perfectly acceptable and understandable to others. And I fault nobody for the social morals or mores that they have that block them from that enlightened thinking or that possibility.
Right. So sometimes we have to agree to disagree.
That's
we
right.
We don't have to argue.
No.
We just agree to disagree.
That's
I
right.
think you're crazy, but you have the right to do what you want.
I will defend. I don't agree with what you're Voltaire. I do not agree with what you're saying, but I will defend with my life your right to say it.
Exactly.
And be willing to, like we say on this show all the time, have that true compassion. Be willing to listen to what somebody believes and why they believe it and just accept that. Don't try to change their paradigm. Don't argue with them because it conflicts with your paradigm.
Right.
Just accept that that is what they believe and put that as a feather in your hat as to one more facet on the gem of the world.
Right. Because you don't know who Creator is going to use to be a mouthpiece to share with you in that precise moment, at that precise place, a profound insight that will forever change your life. You have to be open at all time a miracle of that nature could happen.
That's right.
Most of the time, life is, you know, pretty normal, but, you know, from my travels, I always, and not that I can expect when it will happen, but I know that it will happen.
Yeah.
And I cherish those moments because it helps me to not only have insights into myself, but into the universe, into Creator, into why we're here.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense.
Well, and it really is just that being present and accepting in a moment, and being open to that, because if you go through as much of life that way as possible, then because those, as you're saying, those miraculous moments, those moments of beatific vision, so to speak, in that literal sense from Dante, where it's like that, there's the aha. They are so fleeting amongst the noise of the universe and the world around us. So you really do have to be tuned in and present and ready to receive at almost all times.
I would say, lastly, the greatest gift I have received and I have given is like when I'm speaking, whether it's in an interview or at a conference or a lecture or one-on-one, where there's something I say that the other person's life. That is the greatest gift that I can give and which I have received from other people, whether it's something I read or something I heard. And then take action on it. You know, you get a revelation. Oh, this is fantastic and amazing. Don't just think about what can I do with it? What action could I take? What could I create in this reality that would benefit to other people? And that's what I think we're coming to a period of time to, where we'll wake up every day and have that inspiration. Every day, something new will come. And we'll go, oh, I just love living life. This is amazing. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to get to visit the Pleiades. That's going to be fantastic. But I can't go in my physical body because my physical body can't deal with the vibration there. So they're going to take me in my light body. But I don't care. I just want to experience it. So that's what I see for our future.
Yeah.
And it's very close. It's very. If the person listening is going, I'm listening to the media and I don't see any good stuff happening and all these bad things and the Democrats are voting for this and that, there's nothing can be done to stop them. God will win. We will see a peaceful planet here. We don't need to know in this moment exactly how, but we just need to understand it is in process. It will not go back to how it was. It is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be amazing. And I'm ready to party with all of my fellow family.
Amen.
Singing, dancing in the street, whatever it is. I see that from Arges, where people just wake up in the morning and they start singing and dancing in the street. Or there was one video I saw where there was this young kid was at a concert, and he stood up and he started dancing crazy. And he didn't care what anyone else thought. And then all of a sudden, a couple other people joined him. And before you knew it, after about 10 or 15 minutes, there were 100 of people all dancing, which was started by this one young man not caring about own flow. And he became the catalyst for a wonderful energy that day, which all the people shared. That's what's in store for us.
There's a reason why when I was an audio engineer for live musicians for a living, I was addicted to jam bands. I'm wearing a Grateful Dead shirt right now as we speak. And it's literally because of that synergy that existed between them and being able to be tied into it and know where they were going. And it is literally communication on a different level. And to understand that that is there and that that's possible and that it can be done and that it can be done among strangers.
Yeah. Because there won't be any strangers in the future. We'll all be extended family.
And we're almost to that point right now, even with the point of connectivity that we have. Like, I can't tell you the number of times a week that my wife at her podcast station behind me for Yes But Why podcast or me here are talking to somebody from across the globe.
Yeah.
She interviews comedians from India, all kinds of places. So... You know, and it's amazing to hear these stories, to hear the stories from people like you and to hear stories from researchers from across the pond that are so similar, that have really come down to the same understanding of where we need to try to focus as people. And it's not on the noise. It's on the signal. It's on the signal.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for your time tonight. Thank you so much for the utterly awesomely long conversation. I miss really good long episodes where we dig really, really deep into topics like we did tonight with the messages from Arges, as well as the ebooks. Man, thank you so much again. I cannot wait to have you on again. Please do hold the line while we close everything out here. And while you're online, everybody, checking out all the great work of Joshua Shapiro, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer store. That is where you can buy all of his books, as well, of course, his website, CrystalSkullExplorers.com, CSE.CrystalExplorers.com. You can get them all here at the Dudes and Beer store. You can also get the Dudes and Beer app right here. It's right there on the homepage. As you can see, click the picture. Bam! Look at that. Install. Make sure to stop on by, check all that out. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. You can't be good. Be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.